Begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Samach Dalet. Begin 3 lines down by the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara had quoted a halacha from Rav Dimi Narada, that if someone wants to sell a house to his friend, including the bar and the dus, the pit and the cistern that contains the water, then even if he writes Umka Varuma, that's not enough. He has to write Mitahoim Ara until the Roim Rikia. What's the reason? So he says, because when you add an additional terminology of Umka Varuma, which is unnecessary, similarly, you're saying I'm selling the house, Gavurma comes to include only that the buyer can now dig underneath the ground and that he could build, let's say, on top, but it would not necessarily include the bar and dus, which have different functions than what's done in the house, which is dwelling. So therefore, that is only if he adds another superfluous term of umka tohaima from the depth of the abyss, then that's going to include the bar and dus too. Now, that the Gemara tried bringing two different proofs to Rav Dimi and said they're not proofs. Now the Gemara actually asks on Rav Dimi's interpretation. Amalei Ravina Ravashi. He says, Toshma, come in here, seemingly that will prove not like Rav Dimi. Because to Amr Shlokesh, we quoted Rav Shlokesh in the previous daf, and he said, Zayse Meres, he said, based on the halacha of a braisa we brought in the previous daf, the following halacha, that where sometimes if a person says an unnecessary stipulation, we say that it's coming to include something else, which he's not saying. What halacha, says Rav Shlokesh, would you say? Following halacha, amicha bayis lechaver. If someone sells a house to his friend, v'amalei, and he tells him, amenashed you to halyoin shali, on the condition that the enclosed roof area is going to be mine, says Rish Lakish, you to halyoin shali, the upper roofed area is going to be his. Now, on that the question was, meaning that's unnecessary stipulation, because as we said in the previous Mishnah, that automatically the upper roofed area that is enclosed with a 10 tefachim high wall is not sold to the buyer. So why is the seller stipulating that? So Vamin Lamai Helcha, so he said, so Rish Lakish had said, and that's what we learned from the Braisa, that obviously he's coming to include that he gets to maintain something even more than what he's saying. So for what halacha is that coming to say? So we had a machlekes which recorded in the previous daf. Rav Zvidama, he said, Shemrat Lahitzi Bazizin Maitzis, coming to teach that even if he wants to stick out now poles to hang things from the roof, which generally would be problematic, because that would be taking up space in the courtyard and he would be then overlooking the buyer. Now it's the buyer's courtyard. So that when he's saying I'm holding on to the rights of the enclosed rooftop, means to say every right, even to stick things out. That's Rav Zvidama's interpretation. Now, Papa, he said a different interpretation. He says, no, Shimratza Livnas Ali Agaba Boina, that if he wants to build an upper story on top of the building, then he can build. Now, it's from Rav Papa's interpretation that Ravina is asking on Rav Dimi's interpretation. That is, if you say that in general, that when it's unspecified purchase of a house, that the Lekeach automatically acquires the umka and the ruma, the depth and the height, so then it would make sense what the condition and the stipulation of the seller is making sense, where it's that superfluous stipulation would make sense like Rav Papa, which is telling us that if the seller wants to build on top of the enclosed rooftop and to build even higher in the height of the house, is telling us that he could build. Why? Because if he didn't stipulate, then actually the buyer would have acquired the height that's on top of the enclosed rooftop. You're right, the enclosed rooftop, that, as we said in that previous Mishnah, that the seller holds on to. But the on top of that, the roim, the elevated space going all the way up to the sky, that we say, if you would say that, if it's unspecified, the buyer gets that, so that would make sense. So even though the Dutel Yen belongs to the Meicher, but that's what the Chiddush should be. Why are you saying Dutel Yen? You automatically get that. Oh, it doesn't mean that. It means to build on top of that. And that's what Rav Papa is saying in Rish Lakish's interpretation. Now, but then the question becomes, but if you entertain like Rav Dimi's interpretation, that when it's unspecified, the buyer does not acquire what's on top of the building, of that airspace, rather that always belongs to the seller. So then, and we're really back to the question, why would we need, which Rav Papa is coming to learn into the Rish Lakish, that you're right, it's unnecessary, must be telling us this chiddush, what chiddush is it? What exactly are you gaining by this superfluous stipulation? Even without the stipulation, the buyer would have acquired not only the elevated, not only the roofed, the enclosed rooftop, but he gets even what's on top of that. If he wants to build, of course he could build. Now, the reason for the Gemara's question is because the questioner's assumption is that this is how you interpret what Rav Papa's words were, where we actually, when we interpreted, we did it based on the Gemara's conclusion, which is simply, if he wants to build on top, which sounds like more levels of the house, adding on more stories, then they could build. But of course the buyer, the seller could build even without the stipulation, because he owns from the enclosed rooftop all the way up to the sky. That's not sold according to Rav Dimi. So that answers the Gemara that no. Truthfully, we could say like Rav Dimi that in general, when it's unspecified sale of the house, when you didn't say umka beruma, that the lekeach does not acquire the rumah. Now, but then you ask, so then what's the need for this superfluous stipulation? What exactly then is the seller gaining? And this is the Gemara. Hani le'amanas, what he gains from making the stipulation is a different interpretation of what Rav Papa was saying. The enoughful that if the roof, the enclosed rooftop actually collapses, that gives him a right of hadar banila, that he can then go ahead and rebuild the enclosed rooftop, as we explained in the previous daf. Rav Papa is not coming to teach regarding building more stories on top. Of course he could. That was never included in the sale according to Rav Dimi. Rather, it's talking about the actual enclosed rooftop, the structure itself, and that collapses. We explained that generally what's indebted to the seller is only that actual diuta. When that collapses, to rebuild a new one, that he doesn't have a right. That when he makes an unnecessary stipulation that the diuta is his, of course the diuta is yours, when it comes to sale according to Rav Papa, is that if it collapses, he could go ahead and rebuild it. But yeah, building higher stories, of course he could do that. That according to Rav Dimi was never included in the sale of the house, because umka veruma is not automatically included, and therefore it's not difficult on Rav Dimi. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which on some level is called the Seifa of our previous Mishnah, which opened up when we said that if you sell a house, what's not included, including the enclosed rooftop and other things. So our Mishnah continues on that and says, also, lo yasabar v'lo yasados, neither as a pit or a cistern, are not included in the sale of the house. And av apisha kasav umka beruma. And even if in the document he wrote that I'm selling you the depth of the house and the height of the house, where, as Rav Dimi had explained on the previous stuff, which we just finished explaining, that when the umka meruma, the depth, meaning to be able to dig underneath the ground or the ruma, is not automatically sold in the sale of the house. And actually, when he writes in the document, I'm selling you also umka meruma, that only helps for umka meruma, where now he can build on top, he gets all the airspace up, and he gets the ground beneath the house. But that doesn't help, as the Mishnah is teaching us, to acquire the bar and the dus, because those have different utilities than the function of a house itself, because a bar and dus are only meant to draw water from, versus the house itself is meant for dwelling purposes. So even if he writes umka meruma, that will not automatically include the sale of the bar and the dus. Moreover, says the Mishnah, v'tzarach, the seller, however, although he maintains the ownership of the bar and the dus, even though he sold the house with umka beruma, but he has to go ahead and purchase a path, a right of way from the consumer to be able to get to his bar and dus. And the reason for this, as the Gemara will explain, is because the seller sells in a very generous way, where he sold him everything besides the bar and dus, which is not included in the sale as we just described, but it's in the middle of the property, which is not your, the seller's anymore. How do you get there? So he has to buy right of way to get to it. That's Divrei Bekiva. But Chachamim, they disagree. And they say, no, in it tzarech likach le'derech. The seller does not have to go ahead and purchase a right of way to get to his pit and cistern, which he's maintaining in the property that he sold. Because they hold what's called meicher ba'ayin ra meicher. The seller sells as stingily as possible. And therefore, if he's holding on to the pit and the cistern, he obviously held on to a right of way, how to get there too. And that also is not included in the sale. Now, Maidr Bekiva agrees, Bizman Sha'amal Chutz Me'elu, if he tells him, except for these things, in other words, if he says, I'm selling you everything, the umk in the room, everything besides for the bar and dos, now that itself was an unnecessary stipulation, because we just said that was not anyways automatically included in the bias. So these are extra words. Extra words come to teach us, he's coming to add on something that he wants to hold on to, which then he's holding on to the rights of the path. And therefore, the halach is that she'in tzarech likach derech, then he won't, even according to Bekiva, have to acquire a right of way how to get to his bar and his dus. Now, according to Rabbanon, they're not coming to add on anything at all, because they hold that even without saying these words, he's holding on to a path how to get there. So why is he saying these words, according to Rabbanon? That's just what's called l'ravcha d'milsa. It's just to, like insurance, that you know the buyer who should not think and say, oh, you sold me everything, you didn't say you're holding on to a path, because not everyone who sells is proficient in law, and he wants to make sure that this guy doesn't think that I'm going to have to buy right of way. And therefore he specifies, but in halacha, according to Rabbanan, it wouldn't make a difference. Even if he doesn't say chutz me'elu, he would hold on to the right of way. The flip side of this halacha, the Mishnah says, Macharon, if let's say the seller sells only the burn dos, la'achar to someone else, and actually he maintains the ownership of the house itself. So then, the same machlekes, but in the reverse, Rabbi Kiva Omer, he says that the consumer is ainat tzarich likach lederech. The consumer does not have to purchase a right of way to get to the bar and the dus that they purchased, because again, the seller sells in a generous way. So if you're selling in the bar and dus, well, it's in the middle of my property, how are you going to get to it? It obviously includes a right of way how to get to it. But the Chacham disagree. They say, no, he has to purchase a right of way again, because when someone sells, I sold you this, how are you going to get to it? I don't know. You want to get there? I'll sell you right away. But again, that's the machlekes Rabbi Kiva and the Chacham in both those cases. Now, first the Gemara clarifies something. It says, "Yes, Ravina v'kokashle." Ravina was sitting and he asked, "Hainu bar, hainu dus." What is in our Mishnah when it says that what's not included in the sale of the house is a pit and a cistern? There is really no significant differences between the two of them. They're both the depressions in the ground which has gathered water. And why does it have to say in two different cases? So I'm like, Rabbi Taisvall, Ravina says, Toshema, come in here, I'll explain to you the difference of a bar and dus. The Tanakh learned the Braisa. Echad abar be'echad dus b'karki, right. Both the pit and the cistern, which hold water, are in the ground. Elishabar b'chafira, but a pit is dug in hard ground, which maintains the water even without creating any structure, let's say, out of bricks. But v'adus b'binyan, the cistern is with a structure, meaning they would dig a pit in soft earth. Now, that wouldn't be able to maintain the water, so then you have to build a structure made out of rocks, out of bricks. That's called a dus. Now, therefore, as Rashbam explains, that if we had only said the case of bar, so I would have thought to say that a halacha only applies by a bar, which is through digging, but by a dus, which is through a binyan, it's a structure, that's more similar to a house, which is through binyan, and therefore would be included in the sale of a house. So therefore, we have to say even that's not included. And had we only said the case of the dus, we would have said that no. Because it's a structure, we view it as its own entity, its own structure, and therefore it's something distinct. And that's why it's not included in the sale. But a bar, which is not so chash, which is just a depression in the ground, would be secondary to the house and would be included in the sale. Therefore, we have to say that both bar and dus are not included in the sale of a house. The same type of discussion, the Gemara says, was also Yosef Rav Ashi b'kakashler. Rav Ashi was once sitting and he had the same question. He says, "Hainu bar, hainu dus?" And that only Mark Kashisha, Brid of Chizl, Ravash, he says, Toshima, come in here, I'll explain to you the telling of the Braisa that Echa Abar Becha Dus Bekarka. Both of them are talking about that they're dug into the ground. Al Shabar Bechafir, Vadus Bebinim, but rather, but the pit is by purely digging into hard ground, and a dus is soft ground, which is not maintained, but you go ahead and you make it out of bricks. Now, the Mishnah said that although a bar and dus is not included in the sale, there was a machlekes, Rabbi Kiva and the Chacham regarding, but what about his right of way to get there? So, v'tzarech likach derech divrei Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva said that although the seller sold everything besides the bar and dus, that includes even the right of way. And if he wants to be able to get to his bar and dus, he has to purchase that now back from the lekech. Chacham said, you don't have to, because that when he was holding on to the right of the bar and dus, that obviously included a way how to get there. Now, says the Gemara, my lab, Balkamiflagi, isn't this what they're disagreeing about on the following concept as we continue to Talmud Beis? Rabbi Kiva Savar, Rabbi Kiva holds, Meicher Bain Yafa Meicher, someone that sells something, does it in a generous way, which that's a universal concept in all types of sales. And therefore, since he's generous, he sold everything. And what he held on to was only that he held on to. No, someone sells. He sells it with a more stingy type of attitude. He has to sell whatever I sold, I sold. Whatever I didn't, I didn't. And therefore, since I'm holding on to the bar and the dus, obviously that meant that I'm holding on to it as much as possible, including a right of way how to get there too. Now, moreover, says the Gemara, now, in general, throughout Shas, when we say, oh, Rabbi Kiva goes according to his opinion, the Amr Meicher b'ayin yafa Meicher, that he says that, oh, when someone sells, he sells in a generous way. In other words, and many times, many different types of sales in Shas, we say that, oh, this is the machlekes that they always had, that regarding if you sell with ayin yafa or ayin ra, according to Rekivin Rabbanan, for example, like in Perichas Abatim, which we had on Daf Lamed Zayim Abayz, where the Gemara said regarding someone who sold the trees, but the seller held on to the land. So the Gemara brought there machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan, where according to Rabbi Kiva, the owner of the tree has the land beneath the tree, which that tells us that if the tree dies, he go ahead and plant another tree in its place. Whereas according to Rabbanan, you don't get the land. You can't plant new trees. And says the Gemara, oh, that's because they're disagreeing regarding this concept of Rabbi Kiva holds the one who sells it, sells it generously, which is not just the trees, it's the land beneath it. The Rabban hold, no, Ba'ayin Ra, only the trees, not the land beneath it. Where do we know those, whenever we say it in Shas, is actually Mahacha. It's actually from our Mishnah that they always are, make this inference that is according to their opinion, where seemingly the Machlekes in our Mishnah is clearly a Machlekes if you sell Ba'ayin Yafa or Ba'ayin Ra. And that says the Gemara Mimai. How do you know that? For where do you know this? Dilma may be that the truth is that everybody, both Rabbi Kiva and the Chacham, hold that in general, let's say by the case of selling the trees on with the land, that you sell Ba'ayin Yafa, and therefore he would get the land. Or really, meaning regards to the Rabbi Kiva and Chacham and our Mishnah. Or everyone would agree that Ba'ayin Ra and that he wouldn't get the land. And because they don't disagree regarding in our Mishnah if it's Ba'ayin Yafa or Ba'ayin Ra, rather, what they're disagreeing about is a different concept. That Rabbi Kiva holds in Adam, a person, meaning in this case the consumer, doesn't want to write a sheet in Ma'isab, doesn't want to give his money to the seller, and have people step all over his property, meaning through the area of his house and his courtyard, where the original owner is going to want to have to get to his bar and his dus. And the seller knows that when people buy things, they buy it and without the willingness that now someone could just be able to walk in their property because they held on to something whenever they want to. Because no one wants that people should step all over their house. And therefore the seller knew this, that was the buyer's intention. And therefore, if he really wanted to hold on to the right-of-way, he should have specified in the document that he's holding on to a right-of-way explicitly. And therefore, since he didn't, holds Rabbi Kiva that he has to now go ahead and buy back a right-of-way from the consumer. Now, but in regard to the case of Machri Lonis Vishayar Karka, when he sold the trees and he left over the land for himself, there I could say that Rabbi Kiva would hold that actually Meicher Ba'ayin Ra Meicher. I could actually say that he holds that no, the guy would sell it stingily, and that the guy that who bought the trees would not get the land. Now, because in that case, in that situation, there is no what we have in our Mishnah where the consumer has a claim of, oh, you destroy Achim, I don't want people to step all over my things, because no one's stepping on his trees of the Lekeach. Maybe, who said the concept of Rabbi Kiva is because Meicher Ba'ayin Yafa Meicher? No, maybe for a different reason. That maybe it's not such a general concept. Maybe in our case, specifically with the buyer bought a property and now the seller is holding onto the bar and dos, fine, but I when I buy, I don't want you stepping all over my property to get to your bar and dos. Maybe that's why Rabbi Kiva holds that you have to buy it back. So to Rabbanan Savri, maybe the Rabbanan hold that they're not concerned for Rabbi Kiva's idea of the complaint about the lekeach, about people stepping on this property, because that's not such a really major loss. We're talking about a courtyard, we're not talking about a field. What's the problem with people walk on your property? But Rabbanan hold that the seller has a claim, because ein odem reitza sheitel ma'is, a person doesn't want that he should be taking money, meaning that he should be receiving the payment of the house from the lekeach, and that he's holding on to other things, v'yifrach pa'aver, and that he's going to have to go ahead and fly in the air to go to his pit and assistant that he's holding on to himself, where with the logic of the Rabban is most definitely the seller is not selling the path that he could get to the bird that he's holding on to. And therefore he did not have to specify that he's holding on to the path to the pit itself, because what type of benefit does he have from the pit if he has no way to get there? Now, but we could tell you, regarding the case of selling the trees, we're holding on to the land, which again, that we had on Daf Lamed Zayin Beis, I could actually tell you that Rabbanan would agree that Ba'ayin Yafa Macher, that yes, of course, that the buyer would get the land beneath the trees too, because there's no complaint of this seller of, what, I have to fly through the air? Where he's not losing anything from his land, where giving the rights of the tree which is on top of the land itself. And maybe they would say that, you're right, Meicher Ba'ayin Yafa Meicher. So if it says the Gemara, how can you say from our Mishnah is the source of Rabbi Kiva saying Meicher Ba'ayin Yafa and Rabban Hol Meicher Ba'ayin Ra? Not related at all. You could say in either one of their opinions that would be Meicher Ba'ayin Yafa or Ba'ayin Ra. And here it's for different reasons, because here, specifically to Rabbi Kiva, he holds the Lekeach has an extra special claim. And Rabban hold that no, that the Meicher has an extra special claim, and that's why each one holds respectively their opinion, our Mishnah. But not because in general they hold Ba'ayin Yafa or Ba'ayin Ra, Meicher. Says Gemara, you're right. Ve'elam is safer. Rather, the proof would be from the end of this halacha of our Mishnah. Because the Mishnah then continued on this theme and said the other way around. Let's say Macharan, let's say this, the owner sells the pit or the cistern, L'achar, and he holds on to the house for himself. So now we have the same machlekes, seemingly. That Rabbi Akiva, he says, Einid Tzarech, that the consumer does not need to be likach leiderech to buy a right of way to get to his pit that he bought, because, seemingly, and that's what the Gemara is going to explain, because the seller sold him ba'ayin yafa. Now, the reason for that is because here you cannot explain the reasoning of Rabbi Akiva, like we said regarding the reish of this halacha, that a person doesn't want that he should give money and that people should be stepping all over it, because here there is no such claim for the leikach. Because, what do you mean? The only thing he bought was the pit and cistern. No one's stepping all over that. The only claim that would be possible here would be that a person doesn't want to be taking money and then have to jump over to where he has to get to. And again, that, according to Rabbi Akiva, he's not concerned with that. That was the Rabbanim were concerned with that, not Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, it must be that the reason of this halacha is because Ayin Yafa, that he's selling him with a generous eye. And therefore, yeah, I sold you, I know there's a pit, but that includes a right of way. V'chacham Aymerim, and the Mishnah then continues, and they say that, no, tzarech, that the lekeach has to go ahead and purchase a right of way from the meicher. Why? Obviously, because when the meicher sells him, he sells him as stingy as possible, where it's only the pit and not a right of way. Because again, here also you cannot explain how the Rabbanim explained their opinion, the Reisha of our Mishnah, where because a person doesn't want to take money and then have to jump through the ear to get to what he's holding on to. And the only claim that the seller has is that he doesn't want people walking all over his property, which this guy's going to have right away now. But again, according to the Rabbanan, as we said before, they're not concerned for that tiny. That was Rabbi Kiva's opinion. We're not concerned for that. So the only thing we're left to explain their opinion is because obviously they hold that, because when he sells it ba'ayin ra. So therefore, like as the words the Bach adds into the Gemara, is that my love, so isn't it that what we could explain in the Seifa of our Mishnah, is Bahaka Mifligi, this is what they're disagreeing regarding. Rabbi Akiva Savar Meicha Ba'ayin Yafa Meicha. Rabbi Akiva holds that when the seller sells, he sells in a generous way. Rabbanan Savi Meicha Ba'ayin Yara Meicha. But Rabbanan hold that you sell in the stingy type of way. So this is the source for that Shas concept. Says the Gemara, no right. Dilma, maybe it could tell you that both according to Rabbanan and according to Rabbi Akiva, not like the way we'd assumed just before, and that we had been explaining in the words of the Gemara that, oh, Rabbi Akiva is only concerned for that claim and of the Lekeach, and Rabbanan only concerned for that claim of the Meicher. No, truthfully, I could tell you that actually both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan recognize both of the claims, both of what's called Drisa, which in that case was about in the Reisha was about the Lekeach not wanting people stepping all over his property. And regarding Prichas Aver, which is in that Reisha case, was talking about where the seller doesn't want to have to jump through the ear to get to the piece of property that the burned dust that he's holding on to. We could actually say that both of them agree that generally people are particular about those things. But, so Baha Pligi, but what they're disagreeing about is the following idea. And this would be something that would both explain the Reisha and the Seifa. Because we said, if it's that idea, well, that doesn't apply in the Seifa. So it must be the Seifa is based on the concept Ayin Yafa, Ayin Ra. And that's the Gemara. No, they really hold the both ideas. So how do we explain the Kalach of the Reisha and the Seifa, and it's not about what would seemingly have the common denominator of Ayin Yafa, Ayin Ra? It's as follows. Rabbi Akiva Savi, Rabbi Akiva held that he gives the greater power of the dispute in all situations to the lekech, to the consumer, where we recognize his claim more than the seller's claims. Why? Because Basar Daita Lekech is in Rigo based on the understanding of the consumer. The reason for that is because a person does not throw out money. When someone's spending, he's the most careful, most scrupulous than the seller. Because a guy wants to make sure he's getting his money's worth. Now, the seller knows that the intention of the consumer is to buy a whole thing, and that he shouldn't be losing out at all anything of the acquisition that he's buying, because the person doesn't just throw out money. Now, so therefore, the hand of the lekeach has the upper hand, and we're not so concerned for the claims of the seller in contrast to the buyer, because that's where everyone knows that the buyer has the power because he has the money. Now, whereas Rabbanan Savri, Basar Daita Demoichazlin, but Rabbanan held that no, we go based more on the understanding and the claims of the seller, and the reason for that is because the concept of what's known as Yad Bal Ashtar Al Tachtayna, the one who has the document, which is, well, let's say, could be debated about what it means, he has the lower hand because he's trying to take out of the chazaka of the seller. So therefore, that's what they're disagreeing about regarding both the Reisha and the Seifa, regarding who do we recognize more? Are we recognizing more the Lekeach or the Meicher? Not because of the concept of Ba'ayin Yaf or Ba'ayin Ra. It's because of these special claims, what would we call the super claims, of regarding Drisa or regarding Pareich Ba'aver, where, yeah, that seems to be the flip on the Reish and the Seifa, but yeah, it doesn't make a difference. Rabbi Akiva recognizes more the Lekeach. So therefore, in both cases, when the seller is holding out the barandos, he's not going to have it. Because he's not because he's more generous, but because then we're going to recognize the claim of the likiach, which in that case is drisa. Now, in the other case, when actually he's only selling him the bar in the dos, then we're saying that then the path will be included. It's again not because of ayin yafa, but because rather the concept of what of drisa of pricha ba'aver, where he's got to jump through the what do you mean? So what? You're using it against the moicher in both cases? Yes, because you're keeping recognized lekeach more because he doesn't just throw out money more. In contrast to the opinion of Rabbanu who recognized the moicher more. But again, we could tell you regarding the case of the in Perek Ches Abatim. When someone sold just the trees and he left the ground, the land for himself, where there's no super claims for the meicher and the lekeach of, let's say, driso or pricha ba'aba, that those are not pertinent over there, then actually we would say that maybe both Rabbi Akiva and Rabban would agree, either or, either ayin yafo or ayin ra, but it's not related to their machlekes in our mishnah. There's no proof that they hold that they're disagreeing regarding this concept of ayin yafo, ayin ra. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's not conclusive, the proof from our mishnah. Ve'elamaha. Rather, the proof would be from a Mishnah later on, the Ein Aleph Amid Aleph, where the Reisha of that Mishnah says, same like our Mishnah is regarding Hamoiches Abayis, they're talking about someone that sells a field. We're talking about what's included and not in the sale of a house. They're talking about the sale of a field. So it says that he sold the bricks and so on, the rocks, but he doesn't, the rocks that are not necessary are not included. And moreover, goes on and says that Loyas Abayir, neither is the pit that's in the field, because they used to make pits in the field to be able to water the field, that's not including the sale of the field. V'loyas agas, and neither is the wine press that's in the field included. V'loyas ashevich, neither is the dovecot where the doves stay, that's not included in the sale. Bein chareven, whether it's dried up, meaning whether it's not inhabited, that let's say there's no water in the pit or there's no vines in the vineyard by the wine press, neither are there any doves in the dovecot. It doesn't make a difference whether it's destroyed or bein yeshuvin or whether it's settled. Either way, these items are not including the sale of a field. And b'tzarech, however, but the seller has to be likach leiderech, has to purchase a right of way to get to these things, divrei Rabbi Akiva, again, according to his opinion, as we learned in our Mishnah. And v'chamayim, they say, no, ain't it tzarech. This, all these things that are not including the sale of the field that he's holding on to, he doesn't have to buy a right of way, he automatically has that. Now, that says the Gemara, hasul amali. Why do we need that Mishnah over there on daf ayin aleph? If you think it's coming to explain the reason of Rabbi Akiva, which is this concept that we're saying, that because the buyer doesn't want to just give his money and have people step all over his property, and that the reason the Rabban is because the seller doesn't want to give his money and meaning and hold on to what he's holding on to and have to fly through the ear to get to what he's holding on to, that we learned from the Reisha, meaning from our Mishnah, which we already said, that loyas abayir, but loyas ados, that these are the things that are not included in the sale, and you have to go out and buy it. So we already know that from our Mishnah. So Ella, rather, this superfluous Mishnah of Ayin Aleph, which says the same halacha that we know from Bayis to Sada, Lav Hokamash Malon, isn't it coming to tell us that actually this Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabban apply by all other dinim, which don't have these super claims, which are already explained over here regarding the jumping through the air or not having people step on your property, where Rabbi Akiva always benefits the power of the Lekeach. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva sava meicher b'ayin yafa meicher. That's what he's coming to add on and say, because it's everywhere. It's because the seller is generous. Whereas Rabbanan, however the Rabbanan, that they give the upper power to the seller, is because sabi meicher b'ayin ra meicher. It's because they hold that the seller is more stingy. Because if it's coming to explain the specifics of Dairis and Pricha B'Ava, that already know we're not Mishnah. Must be an extra Mishnah is coming to teach that it's a universal halacha, which that would be the concepts of b'ayin yafa, b'ayin ra meicher. And that says the Gemara, no, it's still not a riot. Because Vidilma may be that the reasoning of Rabbi Akiva and Rabban over here in that Mishnah 9 Aleph is actually the same as our Mishnah over here. Now, your question was then, but Hasul Amali, what's the necessity? It's the same thing. And that says the Gemara, you could say that Ashmi Inan, that originally in our Mishnah, it was teaching us the case of Bais. In other words, the Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanon, which their reasons were regarding the sale of a house. And the Mishnah later on, the Kamash Malan Sad, was teaching us that it does apply by their same machlekes by a field. And says the Gemara, Tzricha, and it was necessary to say their machlekes by both of these cases. Why? Says the Gemara, the Ashmi Nebayis, had we only said the case in our Mishnah regarding the sale of a house, and we had not said the case of a field, so I would have thought to say that actually over there, Rabbi Akiva would say that he would have to go ahead and buy a right of way from the, meaning by the case of the bias, you would say that it would have to buy, as we said in our Mishnah, buy right of way from Lekeach, because they claim that the buyer said that he doesn't want people stepping all over his property, maybe that would be unique to the sale of a house, mishum debayitz niyusa. Because, yeah, there in our Mishnah, the buyer has a claim that, no, you only held on to the bar and dus, but not a right away. I don't want people stepping all over my property, because people do private things in their private property, which includes their house and their courtyard, meaning where they, wherever they has the buyer in his house and on his property. People do private things, and he doesn't want people stepping all over. So maybe there we would say Rabbi Akiva holds that there he would have to buy it. But regarding a field, maybe I would say that that would not be the case. Maybe by a field, Rabbi Akiva would agree to the Rabbanan that the seller would not have to buy back a right away from the buyer, because the buyer doesn't lose anything by him stepping on this field, because there's no need for modesty and privacy, because it's only meant for plowing and for planting. And therefore, we had to teach that the same halacha applies by a field to tell us that by a field, even there, Rabbi Akiva disagrees and says that no, even there, that's included in the sale. But only because that the Lekei can have a claim of, I don't want you stepping all over my property, but not because of Ayin Yafa Meicher. And so to be Eshmin Nesada had be said only the case over there on the Mishnah of Ayin Aleph, Mishum de Kashali Davsha. I would say that's because it's harsh when the guy steps on the property, because this is where people plow, and that walking on the properties ruins the plantation. And maybe that's only over there that Rabbi Akiva would say that we go for the super claim of the Lekeach. But by the case of our Mishnah of the house, I would say that maybe the Rabbi Akiva does not disagree. And he would agree that since there's nothing that gets ruined when you step, that he would agree to the Rabbanan that you don't have to buy back a right of way. That's the Chiddush that our Mishnah is teaching, that no, even by a house there is some form of damage by walking over there because of modesty, because you're going to be walking, meandering through his house to get to the pit, and that's where he says, I don't want you walking on my property. Now Rashbam says, what the Gemara is saying to Rabbi Akiva, you could say the same thing according to the Pin Rabbanan, the same thing too. Had we only said their opinion in our Mishnah of the bias, we would say that they hold that you don't have to buy it back because there's no davsha. You're not ruining it when you're walking on this property, and therefore there's no claim for the lekeach. Therefore, you go based on the claim of the seller, where, how am I supposed to get to it? I can't jump through the air. But by the case of the field where there is davsha, where it would get ruined, maybe the Rabbanu would agree to Rabbi Akiva that he would have to buy it back, and that that would be a valid claim of the buyer. And had we only said regarding the field, maybe the other Rabbanan say that it was not included in the sale, and you don't have to buy back because there's no halacha of modesty. So what's the problem if you're walking over there? But by a house where there is modesty, maybe there the Rabbanan would agree to Rabbi Akiva that it was included in the sale and you would have to buy it back. So therefore, says the Gemara, that's why it's no raya from the cases of Sada, because although it sounds like it's the same, it's not the same. You would not have known one from the other. So Ella rather says the Gemara, you're right, Misefa. Rather, it's from the end of that Mishnah of Hamaycher Es Asada, where that's going to be totally superfluous for if it's like how we're explaining over here. And then that's automatically going to have to tell us, it's based on this machlekes of this Shas concept, that of if it's Ba'ayin Yafo, Ba'ayin Ra Meicher, because the Mishnah there continues and says, same like our Mishnah does the flip, it does the same thing over there. Mocher on La'acher, if he sells his pit or his wine press or his dovecot to someone else, but the owner maintains the field for himself. So the same machlekes, Rabbi Akiva Eimer in itzarch likach lederach. He says the buyer does not have to buy right of way. He could go directly to what the dovecot or whatever it is that he bought. V'chacham emitzarch, he says no, he has to. Although he bought the dovecot, but he didn't buy right of way. He got to buy now a right of way. On that, the question is hasulamali. Why is this necessary to say? Again, the same idea that according to Rabbi Akiva, once we know both the Reisha and the Seifa, meaning the flip side when he's only selling everything but that, or when he's only selling that and nothing else, where we say, based on Rabbi Akiva, go, okay, primary on the Lekeach, no matter which side of the fence he's on. And Rabban would go based on the claim of the Meicher, even if it's the opposite approach, like we explained previously in the Chiddush of our Mishnah of the Reish and the Seifa. But then that's the same thing as the Seifa of the Reish of our Mishnah, where we said that it's not only when he sells everything, but he holds onto the bar and does himself, that it'll be like that, that Rabbi Akiva will be more siding with the Lekeach, but even if it's the other way, where he only sells the bar and the dust to someone else. So it's already from our Mishnah that we learned that Rabbi Akiva goes based on the Das of the Lekeach, and Rabbi Akiva goes based on the Das of the Meicher, and we already said this by the Halach of Bias. So then the question then becomes, oh, hainu hach. So that's the same thing that will apply by the case of the field, because from the Reisha is the same as the Seifa, where when he sold everything, but he did not sell the boyer and the gas. From there we infer that just like Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan disagree regarding the halachas of Abaye, so we said, okay, we don't know it from the Reisha of the Mishnah. Neither do we know it from the Sefer of the Mishnah. Then we said, we don't even know from the Reisha of the Mishnah, Daf Ayin Aleph. Because we said that you need to tell us that, okay, you would think bias would be different than Sada. Fine. But once we already know the Reisha of this Mishnah on Daf Ayin Aleph regarding Sada, so then we already know that all the reasonings that apply to the halacha of bias, be them drisa, which is someone stepping on my property, or pricha, where how am I supposed to get to what I have? I'm supposed to jump, fly through the air. You could say those same svaras by sada too. So once we're already telling it to you over here, by the halacha of sada, that those reasonings apply, just like by bias, so too by sada, so it has all the reasonings, so then therefore, then obviously the same thing would apply in the reverse, by the case of the seifa, when he's only selling those things to someone else, where it's the same logic just in the reverse, regarding the claims of who has that claim, the lekech or the meicher, which is the same thing like we said in the case of our Mishnah, when he only sells the bar and the dos, where again, Rabbi Kiva is going to go siding with the lekech, and Rabbanan are going to be going siding with the meicher. So rather, says the Gemara, Elalav, so rather must be what we can infer from that superfluous seifa of that later Mishnah, that Hakamash Malan, that is coming to teach us this idea that even in other places where you don't have these specific claims that the Gemara is claiming that, no, it's not about Ayin Yafa, Ayin Ra, it's about the claim of Drisa, or the claim of Pricha Ba'aver, where that's where Rabbi Kiva says in general, because if it was about these specific claims, we know that already from these three different bavas. The Risha of our Mishnah, the Seifa of our Mishnah, the Risha of that Mishnah over there. The Seifa of the Mishnah on Ayin Aleph is unnecessary. It must be telling us that Rabbi Kiva, who always benefits the side of the Lekech, I mean, even in the case of the Seifa of the Mishnah over there, because Rabbi Kiva Sava Meicha Ba'ayin Yafa Meicha, because Rabbi Kiva says when the seller sells in general, he's more generous. Rabbanan, who they make the benefit for the side of the seller, is Kesarvi. They hold that Meicher Bain Ra Meicher, the one who sells, always sells in a more begrudging, stingy type of a way. So we can infer finally from the Seifa of that Mishnah over there that yes, that's the source where we always say, oh, Kiva goes L'Taimei according to his L'Shitasa, his opinion, and Rabbanan who disagree, it's the source of that Mishnah of the Seifa on that Ayin Aleph. Now, Rashbam does address a question that seemingly he says, which you should not ask, that maybe according to Rabbanan, according to their opinion, it is necessary to say the case of the Seifa of the Mishnah in Aleph. And since it's necessary to say it, you could still say it's like we're saying over here, and it's not because of the larger idea about Ayin Ra Meicher. Because maybe, asked Rashbam, you could say that it was necessary to say that Seifa for the Rabbanan, that by a field, there's a legitimacy to the claim of the seller, which again, he's the one holding on to the field, and he's only selling the pit or the gas or the dovecot, because of the claim of Darsha, where the guy who I sold the pit to, he's going to be walking and stepping all over my field, because from the ratio of that Mishnah Ayin Aleph, which said if someone sells a field, so the halacha is, we said it's not included in the sale, the pit. Now, from there, we did not see that Rabbanan hold that there is a valid claim by a field, a claim of Drisa. All we see from their opinion, the ratio is a claim of, well, the meicher is going to have the upper hand because, well, I'm supposed to jump through the air to get to the bar that I held on to. It's only Rabbi Kiva that we heard that he had ever said such a svara in the reisha of that Mishnah that it's harsh to a field when you're walking through it, and that's a legitimate claim. Maybe over here in the Seifa of that Mishnah, Ayin Aleph, it's coming to teach us that Rabbanan have that svara, because had we not said that Seifa, maybe we would have thought to say that in that case, actually the Rabbanan agreed to Rabbi Kiva that he's not going to have to buy a right-of-way, meaning the buyer, who bought only the dovecot and all these other things, because we're not concerned for the claims of the owner saying, well, you're going to be stepping all over my property, because we never find the Rabbanan say such a svara. Maybe they don't agree to that. Maybe that's why it was necessary to say the Seifa, and it's not superfluous to tell what the Gemara is saying, that they hold the Ayin Ra Meicher. That's a Rashbam, you can't say that. Because since from the ratio of that Seifa, meaning that beginning of the Mishnah Daf Ayin Aleph, Rabbi Kiva was already the one who mentioned this svara of Davshi Lasada, that there's a harm when the person's walking in someone else's field that's going to ruin the crop, that must be the Rabban agreed to that svara. Why? Because that they never disagreed with on Rabbi Kiva. The only thing that they disputed Rabbi Kiva was regarding, okay, you're right, the Lekeach has a claim and the Meicher has a claim, but who do we go primary? That's Rabbanan, as we established on our daf, they hold primary is the claim of the Lekeach, because someone doesn't throw out money just like that, and we go based on what he's saying. And the meaning that Rabbi Kiva goes based on the Lekeach, he was the one that said that, and Rabbanan hold based on the Das of Meicher. but we don't find that they dispute of the logic of the svaras themselves. And therefore, since Rabbi Akiva says that, we already know in that Mishnah that svara, and the Muslim and Rabbanu would agree to that. So again, they wouldn't be telling us that they would hold that there would be such a logic. And therefore, since that would be benefiting either party, meaning in the case of the Seifa, we already know their opinion from the Seifa of our Mishnah. So why was it necessary to say that again, like the Gemara is establishing, but to tell you because you're right. The Machlekes doesn't apply just specifically to these cases where you could find other svaras that they disagree regarding the Suba claims of Driso or regarding Pareich Ba'aba, rather in general. When the seller, there's a buyer, the seller, we always say, sold with a generous eye. So whether he's selling everything but that or only selling that, either way, the buyer is going to have the upper hand, whereas Rabbanon, the seller is going to have the upper hand. And Gemara concludes this discussion. Itmar, we learned that Rafuna Marav, he says, as you continue to talk about Samachim and Alf, the halacha gedibr chacham. Halacha is like the chacham, that when someone sells, he sells as bare bones as possible, and therefore, like when he sells and he holds on to something, he holds on to the right away. He says the name of Shmuel that no halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, that when someone sells in a generous way, which Rashbam says that that's the conclusion of the Gemara as like Rabbi Akiva. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Amalei Rabbi Yimer Be'Abba L'Rav Huner. Rabbi Yimer Abba, who had said over the name of Shmuel, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, asked Rav Huner, who said the name of Rav, that the halacha is like the Chachamim. He asked, but Vazim and Sagin Amrita Kameh de Rav, but there were many times that I said over in front of Rav, like I'm saying now in the name of Shmuel, and he didn't tell me anything, he didn't disagree with me. So how are you saying over the name of Rav that he holds halachas like Chacham? So Amaleis, Rav Huna said to Rav Yimer Ba'aba, what were the words you used? How did you teach to Rav when you said this halacha? So Amaleis, he said to him, Ipchatanina, I taught it the other way around. Meaning I had said it that Rabbi Kiva was the one who says Ba'ayin Ra, and the Rabban who had said Ba'ayin Yafa. Now, as Rashbam explains, it's the Gemara that's doing the shorthand and saying that he had taught the opposite way. But it's not that he told Rav Huna that I said the opposite, because if he knew that he said the opposite of how Rav Huna said it, he would realize that there's no question that he was saying the same thing as Rav Huna, and Rav Yimri is the same thing, that he was saying that the halacha is Ba'ayin Ra Meicher. He was just saying that Rav Kiva was the one who said Ba'ayin Ra Meicher. When he was saying Ipchatanin, he didn't say those words. He said, oh, I told him that, yeah, halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, that says Ba'ayin Ra Meicher. So he said to him, Mishamachi la amalach v'lamidi. That's why Rav didn't say anything to you, because you were also passing the halacha that Ba'ayin Ra Meicher. It's just that you were saying that in the name of Rabbi Kiva, and I, who was saying over in the name of Rav, that halacha is like a chachamim, is because our guess is that the chacham was said Ba'ayin Ra Meicher. But don't ask on me, yes, you're saying over the name of Shmuel, halacha is like Rabbi Kiva. But don't ask on me that I'm saying over the name of Rav, that halacha is like the chachamim, and you're saying why, but you said in front of Rav many times that halacha is like Rabbi Kiva and didn't say anything, because when you said halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, you said halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, that Ba'ayin Ra Meicher. Well, that's the same as what I'm saying, halacha is chachamim, which we have that text that it's the chacham who say Ba'ayin Ra Meicher, and therefore it's not difficult. And what I'm saying, that Rav's opinion was halacha kedivri chacham.